setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, you have joined a conversation about you, specifically your purpose, what you do best, what you love to do, results that matter deeply to you. That's who you are, what you were created to do with that information. What's that unique contribution that you were created to make? And then where are all the places you can do it and how do you get there? So it's the whole journey. Is there such a thing as a dream job? How do you figure out what it is? How do you get there? The age-old question, what should I do with my life? Here's the answer. You should use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter deeply to your mission. And when you're in alignment there, you find all the different ways you could do that, and you realize, whoa, a lot of different paths to fulfilling my purpose. And it becomes exciting, not scary. It becomes exhilarating, not debilitating. So no matter who you are, where you are in your journey, I promise you that the answers lie within you and that I can counsel, coach, and cheer you on. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. But first, something I'm deeply passionate about because it's personal, and I want to encourage those of you out there who struggle with ADHD or you have kids with ADHD. Now, I'm not going to get into ADHD medicine and all those things. That's probably another time. But I do want to encourage those of you who have struggled with it or do struggle with it, whether it's minor or it's major or somewhere in between, that I want to encourage you that if you could figure out what your sweet spot is, where you can use your talent to perform your passion, to accomplish your mission, to do what you do best, to do work you love, to accomplish results that matter to you. You do that, and you watch your ADHD morph into a superpower. And that's the point I want to make. I want to highlight just a short list of ways that ADHD can be used as a super effective tool. And then one unique superpower. Here's a list. Here's where ADHD people, and there's more than this, but it's just a snapshot. Those people who have ADHD, you're really good at problem solving. Maybe not all problems, but certain problems. I can tell you this. Joe can tell you, I can't solve a problem when it comes to tools. But I could solve some people problems, Joe. I can't turn a wrench, but I can touch a heart.
But that's when you call me.
That's right. So here's the point. You are a natural problem solver because of the way your mind works. It's racing. It's looking at things from different angles than a lot of people look at. That's a positive of ADHD. Let me go tell you what goes along with that. Imagination in the form of very creative thinking. Not just problem solving, but imagination, super creative. Humor. Oh, that brain's moving 100 miles an hour. People with ADHD see the world differently, see it quicker than a lot of people. That's why they're funny. Quick on their feet. You ever heard of that before? How about perseverance? Because you've had to struggle in school, maybe, or struggle with minor tasks and details and organization that we need in life. And because of your ADHD, it's been a real struggle. And because of that, you have developed thick skin. You have developed a sense of determination. And hey, I'm not going to let this stop me. How about observation? Oh, I love the ADHD people when it comes to observing, seeing what's going on. They see the world quicker than the rest of us because they're like that lighthouse light that goes around slowly, except theirs is going like this, like a siren, baby, you know? That's the brain. They're seeing everything and really fast. That's a positive. And then finally, compassion. People who struggle with ADHD tend to be more compassionate because they know what the struggle's like. But the ultimate superpower, those are all examples of how ADHD can be focused in the workplace to win. And therein lies the superpower. You know what the real superpower of ADHD is? Hyperfocus. I'm telling you, folks, I can't remember where I put my keys. So my wife had to come up with this. She found this bowl that I really liked, and she puts it on the counter in the kitchen. When I walk in, I drop my keys and wallet in the bowl. It's been a game changer for me. But absent of the bowl, I never could find my keys. As a student, I was a terrible student. Could not pay attention in class except for the subject that I was interested in. Hyper-focused. Great grades in history. Great grades in Bible. Great grades in English. Everything else, awful. Barely made it through school. Couldn't focus. But hyper-focus is the superpower of the person who struggles with attention deficit and hyperactive disorder. It just does. It's a superpower. You get a kid, you get an adult in their sweet spot doing work they're really good at and work they love that produces a result that pleases their heart. Watch out, baby. They are unstoppable. So one of these days, and I believe that medicines can help kids, but I also think that parents and doctors are unintentionally sucking the superpower out of kids. If we can get them in an area of passion and mission, even at young age, certainly as high schoolers and college kids, watch out. Watch out. It's a coin. I want to absolutely acknowledge that there's no question that those who struggle with ADHD, that it has all kinds of negative effects. And parents, I know it's hard. And I'm not beating up on you. I'm not trying to get into medication on this. I'm just making the point that at the end of the day, we've got to stop treating these kids as though something's wrong with them. And we got to start going, what's the positive flip side to this? Where are they wildly effective? Where are they intensely on fire? While I'm on this subject, has it ever occurred to you parents that maybe kids, certainly not boys, aren't made to sit in the classroom for 7 hours at a time? I don't know. I know. Sometimes I have these wacky, wild thoughts. Sometimes I say things that I know you all are listening. You're going, Ken has lost his ever-loving mind. Has it occurred to anybody that kids weren't created to sit in a classroom for 7 freaking hours? Well, we gave them recess for 20 minutes. Oh, okay. So let me get this right. We're going to stick them in a classroom for 7 hours. And for 20 minutes, we're going to let them out. And then we're irritated when they come back in the classroom after recess and they're all hyper and fired up. And these are supposedly the smart people that have come up with this system. Boy, I've gone and done it now, Madison. I don't know. I know. I'm crazy. Call me crazy, Ken. I just don't think that kids, or quite frankly, or adults, are supposed to sit anywhere for 7 hours. Food for thought. Quick commercial break. I'll let some of you deal with your indigestion. Phone calls are next. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I just got a report today that our resume template package, it is a package of 6 fantastically designed, all different resume templates that are basically inspired by my free resume guide. It includes instructions for building the resume, plus the 10 do's and don'ts of job applications. And you get 6 templates for, ready for this? $9.99. So if you want to go check them out, kencoleman.com/store. That's kencoleman.com/store. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. Life is way too short for you to just work a job. Oh, Ken, it's just a job, man. I got to make it to Friday. Got to pay the bills. Really? Yeah. It's what most people view work as. something they do to live. Yeah, I just got to make enough to live. And we think here at the Ken Coleman Show that you were created to work, created to contribute. I always like saying created to work, Joe, because it catches people off guard. They're like, oh, man. Well, of course, when you got that worldview of work, it's like a dirty word. It's like a four-letter word. Created to contribute. Now everybody goes, okay, now tell me more. You were created to fill a unique role. You're needed. You must do it. You can make the income you need and the impact you want. That's how you go from paycheck to purpose. And that's what this entire show is about. So let's get to it. Your phone calls are next. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Bay City, Michigan, where Laura joins us. Laura, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Laura, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Awesome. Well, I'm in the middle of interviewing right now. I'm currently employed, love the job I have, but I'm in the middle of interviewing. I've completed 5 one-hour virtual interviews already in the last week and a half. I have another one left at the end of the week, and this one is with HR, started with HR, ending with HR. It's been going really well so far, but I'm wondering, how do I ask the question about specifics on international travel? It's a global company, and I want to know how it's going to impact the other half of my life, the personal half, without causing them to be concerned about it during the interview process.
Yeah, really good question, and it's super specific, so your question needs to be super specific. You've gone through all of the interviews. You're now in the final interview, and it hasn't been brought up yet. And so you're bringing it up in the final interview. So it's, I don't think you're going to look eager beaver at all. So you just simply say, hey, we've not talked about travel up to this point. I'm curious, do you know if there will be any travel? And if so, how much? Do you have an idea of how many days a year I might have to travel, or a percentage of the month? I think ask it just like that. Don't say anything like, well, I don't know if I might do this if the travel. You don't need to do that. Just ask them that question straightforward.
Okay.
Yeah. You see the way I set that up? It doesn't, because if they go, well, are you concerned about travel? Go, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm concerned or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. Because how could you be concerned about it if you don't know what it is? So you can play that little ping pong game. I'm trying to get inside of your fears.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid you're going to lose the opportunity by just asking a question, and that's not going to happen. It's a really good question. It's time to ask it.
Okay.
Has travel been brought up at all?
Well, it said on the initial job posting 25%, but does that mean I'm going to be gone 1 week out of a month? Does that mean I'm going to be gone 1 month every quarter?
Oh, okay. You didn't tell me that.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't apologize. I'm just saying I didn't have that information. So now that you know it's 25%, this is an even simpler question. You just go, hey, in the initial process or the job post or whatever, it was mentioned 25%. I'm just curious how they came up with the 25%. Is that 1 week a month, or is that just, if you look at the total amount of days you work in a year, it comes to about that? That's a really good clarifying question. And again, that doesn't tip off anything other than you're going, what's the 25% mean?
Okay.
And now at that point, you can hold your cards close to your chest and just defer. So thanks for the question. Don't overthink this. That's a very normal question, and you should ask it. Let's go to Yolanda in Akron, Ohio. Yolanda, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Yolanda. What are you doing?
Well, I'm hoping you can help me make a decision here.
Okay.
I currently work in HR. I'm a secretary. I make about $45,000 a year. And I have my goal actually is to become a recruiter in our HR department, which is about $25,000 more a year salary for me.
Okay.
But there hasn't been much opportunity for that position to open up where I currently work. So there was another position that has opened up for an executive assistant that I applied for. I kind of don't want to do the job because it's very similar to what I'm doing now. I'm more in the administrative clerical end of things. And since I've applied for that position, I'm scheduled to interview for it Friday. A recruiter position has opened up since then that I wasn't expecting. So now I don't know whether to decline the original interview for the job I really don't want and pursue the one I really want, even though there may be a chance I don't get it, but my heart and my passion is really with that. What should I do?
Do you feel like if you were to stay with the interview for the executive assistant position and then apply for the recruiter position that just opened, do you feel like that would be a problem with the internal raising of eyebrows?
No, I've applied for both positions already. So I applied for the assistant and I applied for the recruiter, but they're just interviewing for the assistant one right now. They haven't started the interview process for the other one yet.
What do you think would happen if you decline the interview for the assistant position?
I don't think anything would happen. I don't think it would stop me from pursuing the other one. I just don't want people to look at me as if I'm unstable, I guess.
Okay. And what would, and so what would make you look unstable about contacting them and going, hey, listen, I applied for, you tell me, because you've thought this through. I don't see the evidence. So I want you to dump it all on me. Dump it all. I don't need to be guessing anymore.
All right.
Dump all of it on me real quick.
Okay, so real quick, I had applied for another higher paying position within the same department. I was already doing the job, and I interviewed for it, and I was not selected. It kind of left a bitter taste in my mouth, and you know, it was kind of hurtful because I was already doing the job, but they hired someone else.
Yep.
So since then, there was another position, same position that opened up again, and I applied for it, but I withdrew. Because I didn't want to be hurt again. So that's kind of the backdrop. And so it's the same people that are involved with all of these interviews, and I don't want to appear as if I'm unstable or I don't know what I'm doing. But the recruiter position is the one that I really wanted from day one. This is the first time this opportunity has ever come up since I've been with this company.
Yeah, so a couple things. You know, if you walk this out and you do the interview, you know, at what point, you know, you could let it fizzle out, right? What if they keep moving you along? And then let's say that you got this dual track. So you could do the dual track where you interview for both. And if you think that makes you look more stable, fine. I don't disagree. I don't agree. I'm kind of 50-50. I'm in the middle on this deal. I'm most disappointed about is that you took yourself out of the last time because you're worried about getting hurt. That, to me, that's going to hurt you more than anything. And you're going to have to, and so here's why I'm bringing that up. I'm not bringing that up to beat you up. I'm bringing you up to say that's the bigger issue. Whether you pull yourself from the administrative interview or not, or you stay with it, I don't think that's going to make you look unstable. I think if anything made you look unstable, it's that you pulled out of the last interview of the position you actually wanted.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to overcome that because you took yourself out of it. So if you take yourself out of this other interview, I see where you're going with it. But to me, it's about how you do this. If you go to them and go, look, I've always wanted this role. I pulled out last time because I was scared I wasn't going to get it. And I just didn't want to get hurt again. And I'm over that now. I want to give everything I got to this recruiter position. And so I'm going to pull myself out of the admin and assistant role because there's no reason why you would take another job. It's the same job. So you need to explain that.
Okay.
To me, it's how you explain it. It'll make you look unstable. So you know what? I'm going to give everything out to the recruiter position. If you all would like me to stay in this thing, then I will. I kind of go that route for me. I think you got to own this at this point. That's what I would do. Own it. Take the elephant out of the room. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that a reality. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. A part of that, show you how to make the dream a reality. Well, part of that is you're going to have to put yourself out there. And this is where so many people get stuck. They just, oh man, I know I want to make the move, but now I got to actually update my resume. I got to put myself out there. I got to try to find gigs. I got to go through the interview process. It's just a lot of stress, and it's scary and yucky and all the things. I mean, there's a million things you'd rather do than search for a job, okay? It's not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets this. In fact, ZipRecruiter has figured out a way to make the job search process better and easier. All you got to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com and you create a free profile. Did I say it's free? Oh, I did. It's free. Then they actually start pitching you as a recruiter to companies that are in their massive database who are paying them for talent. That's you. And here's where they're different. Unlike other job sites, if an actual person from the company likes you as a candidate, they can personally invite you to apply for a job. And here's the deal. Candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So one click, it's free. ZipRecruiter.com. Tell them Ken Coleman sent you. All right, to the phones we go. Chris in Cave. Is that right or Cape? Cape Coral. Yeah, okay, good. Cape Coral, Florida. I'm kind of like Ron Burgundy. Whatever Amanda puts up there, I'm probably going to read. So, boy, that could get dangerous. Cape Coral, Florida is where Chris joins us. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
I'm living the dream, Chris. What are you doing?
I'm looking for jobs right now, actually.
All right. Okay.
I was told, well, first off, I'd like to thank you for having me on.
Sure.
First time calling.
Thank you.
So I was told by my, I'm a teacher, by the way, so I was told by my principal I was going to be laid off due to departmental cuts back in April. And my contract ended in June. It just ended last week. So I'm in the unemployment process, got approved. I have that. I have my 6 months set on the side. I have a side gig, so financially I can do well if I can't find anything.
Okay.
My question to you is, I have a private job working for a school, and they're kind of pressuring me to make a decision right now to either go with them because they have to do an extensive background check, but I ideally would like to still work in the district. And the trade-off is that this job is around $4,000 less and no pension attached to it. Now, I've applied to district jobs. I've had 5 interviews, and either they didn't get back or they hired someone else. And I don't have any other interviews lined up at the moment. So my question is, should I go with the private job because they lock me into a contract for a year, or do I take the gamble and wait for some district job to open up?
Well, when I get a call like this, at the end of the day, I'm going to leave that up to you as to what you think you should do. But I would take the opportunity in my hand. I would take the private job. And what that does is it stabilizes me and it keeps me from burning through any of that emergency fund or money that you set aside. And it takes the pressure off and you can find something else. You got time to find something else in the district. That's what I would do because I know I still want to teach. So I would rather be somebody who stays in a teaching job, even if I'm moving around a little bit. That's not abnormal in your industry. So that's what I would do. What were you leaning towards?
I was leaning towards that option. Then the next thing in my head is like, how do I go and tell them if I do have to leave? Like if something does open up in the district, I'm locked in for a year. I don't know if there's a way out or.
I would look at the contract, but I wouldn't talk to them about it. I would just look at the fine print on the contract, and you may not be able to get out of it. But again, that to me is not that big of a deal because if you choose the private school option that's afforded you right now, then that means you're not looking for a job this year. You're looking for a job next year in the district. So, you know, you got a little bit of time to make some good connections, really use that proximity principle. And then you're lining up opportunities and hopefully you land something for the next year. And so your contract runs out beautifully and there's no stress, there's no breaking contracts and you just walk right into the next thing. That's what my mindset is.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was leaning towards, but I wasn't really sure. You know, I was kind of getting discouraged, you know, applying and stuff and maybe getting antsy.
Yeah. And here's the deal. This is an opportunity right there. This helps you emotionally and financially. Oh, okay, good. Somebody wants me. I'm here. And now I'm really working my relationships to get the right public school job for me, the best public school job. So it gives you time and takes the pressure off. So yeah, I love that. Go ahead and take it. Chill out and don't touch any of that emergency money. And I think you're going to be in really great shape.
Yeah,
Absolutely. That's what I would do. Let's go to Hattiesburg, Mississippi next, where Jeff joins us on the line. Jeff, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Jeff. What's up?
Hey, yeah. So I'm just looking for a little clarity on a career decision. I've currently worked in a sales office. I've been there a little bit over 5 years, but I'm feeling a little bit guilty about leaving because right now I'm the only salesperson there. So I'm just looking for some advice, your opinion on if should I stay a little bit longer or is it okay to make the move? And
tell me about why you want to make this move.
Okay. I feel like there's no room for advancement or extra earning potential at my current job, and just feel like I've learned everything that there is to learn at this job. I'm looking for a job to better myself, a better opportunity.
So here's the deal. I knew the answer to that, but I wanted you to hear yourself say that.
Okay.
I would not delay opportunity because you feel bad. They're probably not going to hire another salesperson anyway. There's a reason why they only have one salesperson. Mm-hmm. So you staying longer is not going to motivate them to get another salesperson. I can't see that. Do you see that?
No.
So we're kicking the can down the road. You're not going to walk in and go, "Hey guys, I want to leave, but I wanted to be a nice guy because I'm a nice guy and you are a nice guy, and I wanted to give you a heads up. So you probably should hire somebody that I can train, and then I'm going to leave." How's that going to go?
Not too good.
Yeah. So that's not an option. And so the other option is that you just stay around and hope they hire another salesperson. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
Dude, come on, man. Yeah. You're such a nice guy. You have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to feel guilt over. You're a good dude. This is a great opportunity. You walk in and go, "Guys, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to work here. This has been good. This has happened. Blah, blah, blah." Say some really nice things. And then say, "But I've got an opportunity to expand my responsibilities and my experience and grow my income. And this is a great new chapter for me, and this is what I'm supposed to do. So I'm really, really sad to say, but my time here is done. How can I help finish well?" That's it. Done. End of story.
Yeah, I am really thankful for the job, but it's just for a long time, I felt like it's time to look for something else. And
yeah. You a dad? You a dad by any chance, Jeff?
I'm not, no, sir.
Okay, but you had a dad, of course.
Yes.
What would you do if you went to your dad one day and you said, "Hey dad, listen, I'm not growing. Something's wrong. I'm smaller than I'm supposed to be. And my growth is stunted physically. I'm not developing properly." And he said, "Well, tough. You're my son and I make the decisions on that. And you don't need to worry about that. I'll take care of that." How wacky would that be?
Yeah.
So aren't you supposed to grow professionally?
Yes.
So you feeling guilty about growing professionally is just as wacky as your dad going, "Well, we're not going to feed you, son. Sorry, I'm the dad. I make all the decisions."
Good point.
I know. It's a wacky story. I just came up with it on the spot. But the point is, it's absurd. Right. And you feeling guilty about taking an opportunity to advance professionally and personally is just as absurd. I'm not beating up on you, Jeff. I'm saying, Jeff, you're a really nice guy. But be a big boy. Put your big boy pants on and go in there and resign and leave well. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. So honored to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577 is the number of the website, kencoleman.com. Tons of free resources and an amazing store online with very, very discounted prices on products that actually help you. So there you go. Love to follow. Love to have you follow me on Instagram as well, at Ken Coleman. You can search The Ken Coleman Show on Facebook as well. All right. Lakeland, Florida is where Tyler joins us. Tyler, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, great to talk with you, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Tyler. What's going on?
So I was calling in just to kind of get your advice on whether or not I should be looking for another job.
Okay.
And I was hoping you could help me with that.
Give me the details. Yeah. Why are we asking this question?
Yeah. So in the near future, a lot's coming up for me and my wife. We're going to start moving forward with trying to prepare for a family. And with where I currently work, I work for a distribution company here as a buyer. And so I'm part of a purchasing department. And it's the first job I ever had in this role ever. And I was kind of one of those people that never really kind of knew what they wanted to do. And I got my 4-year degree and I found this position, and I really enjoyed it in the beginning. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, everything just went crazy. We had people let go, and we had to take on about 20-25% more work, and that's been happening since. I haven't been able to hire anybody back on. And so I kind of did that growth plan. I did that, the steps to try and do a growth plan without showing my hand to my leader and everything. And it was pretty much met with a polite but indirect roadblock in that, you know, you kind of set some expectations. You know, we'll revisit that in the future.
So here's the answer. Okay. So you should be looking for a job. You gave me enough details. I've heard enough. You know it and I know it, right?
Yeah,
dude, you've got a lid. You've got a lid that's been placed on you.
Yeah, and it stinks because, you know, I really, you know, I've grown to really care about the people that I work with. They gave me this opportunity
But they also are the same people that are putting a lid on you.
Yeah. So, dude, look, listen,
you're a good guy. I think you're scared of the next step, but you called saying, should I look for another job? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. You've done a good job to this point. This is why I recommend that you do what you did. The growth plan, it reveals pretty quickly whether or not you are in a culture or in a position where a leader will develop you and promote you. It reveals it instantly, and the answer is pretty darn clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. You know what you want to do, yes or no?
As far as look for another job or profession, you mean?
Profession.
Oh, yeah.
So you know where to look. So you know where to look.
Yeah.
What are you scared of?
Just the uncertainty, I guess, of having to look for another job. And, you know, I'm kind of a self-conscious kind of a guy. And
I get
you know,
it.
The leader that I'm under is, you know, he's a very, I don't know, if other than him putting the lid on me, I consider him a nice guy. And, you know, he's helped me learn.
Yeah, so you're worried about disappointing. Bad. Yeah, but you can't feel bad about making a step forward in your life. Would you feel bad about paying off debt?
No.
Would you feel bad about investing money?
No.
Then why would you feel bad about taking a step forward professionally? The reason is you're worried that you're going to let this person down, or they're going to say something bad about you because you're a self-conscious guy. You got some insecurities like we all do. You got some self-doubt. You got some fear about the unknown. So here's the deal. You know the kind of work you want to do. You know the profession. Half the people that call the show aren't quite sure, so I help them get clear. Good news is you're clear. So the question is, look for the jobs that put you back on the right ladder. You know what they are. And here's the deal. You can go to ZipRecruiter.com and use them too. They'll start pitching you to companies if you're worried about putting yourself out there. That's why I endorse them. That's one resource right there. Get after it, man. It's time to move. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, and we are continuing to bring you clarity so that you can confidently step out on the path and fulfill your purpose. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Hey, we have some great resources, free and paid, at kencoleman.com. One of them is our Foundations in Career Readiness. I've teamed up with Ramsey Education, and we came up with a awesome, short, jam-packed course. Perfect for teens, 13 to 19. It's only $29.99. And all they need is a computer, tablet, and internet access, and it is step-by-step how to enter into those first jobs and set them up to get the dream job later. So we're going to give them the full philosophy and methodology, but practically help them with those summer jobs and first jobs and college jobs and all those things. So again, if you go to kencoleman.com/store, kencoleman.com/store, and look for the Foundations in Career Readiness, great course. Taught by yours truly. 844-747-2577. Omaha, Nebraska is where Matt joins us. Matt, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken Coleman, how are you, my friend?
I'm living the dream, Matt. What's going on with you?
You've said that every time you've answered a phone call today.
Yes, sir. I'm always going to say it because I'm actually living the freaking dream, Matt. Can you believe it?
I do believe it. That's why we're talking on the phone right now.
That's right. I want to help you live yours. What's up?
I appreciate it. So, hey, so big picture here, let's talk about my financial scenario. I started at $126,000 in college debt. I'm currently down to $80,000.
Whoa, way to go, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so the last couple of years I've hit it pretty heavy. I've had a pretty decent pay increase to around the $50,000 range, which I've never been. That's great. But as I've been there for a while, I've realized, you know what, I need a lot more to pay off my debt faster. I work probably an additional 20 to 30 hours a week outside of my 40-hour job. I'm an estimator at a collision center.
Yeah.
And I love cars. I really like what I'm doing. Yeah. And so with the idea of seeking out another opportunity, it's hard. I like my job quite a bit, and my coworkers and the structure with my life is pretty good.
Okay.
But so long story short with all of that, there's a job that I've kind of had my eye on in sales with it's a foundation repair company. I got in the door recently, got a job offer. They offered me, and I had to put my 2 weeks in recently. I did do that. After I put my 2 weeks in, they counter offered and they offered me around the $61,000 range. And then finally gave me the vision of the future of the company and how it's looking down the line 2 to 3 years from now. And it makes me super second guess what I'm doing.
Yeah, okay. So the foundation repair, how much are they going to pay you?
So they said on average, you should be making $80,000 or more a year. The stipulations here, you're driving your own car. They're paying you 25 cents a mile. I have a reliable car. I'm not worried about that.
So we're talking about it's a commission job, and so they're saying on average you should or could make 80, and then the car company that you're working for, the car repair or a body, auto body, whatever it is, you're saying they just offered to bump you to 61.
They offered to bump me to 61, and so this is kind of where my confusion comes from, because number one, I like my job. I like the content. I like what I write. I like cars. They're cool.
Right.
I'm passionate about learning about that stuff.
Yep.
Foundation repair, am I passionate about it? I can't say I'm passionate about it.
No.
But I am passionate about helping people. I like writing estimates. I already do that now. It shouldn't be hard for me to pick this up.
No.
Cars are way more complicated than foundation, right? So I can learn that stuff.
And you can always make a lot of money and buy cars and renovate cars later, right? You don't have to give up your love of cars just to do this.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so where's the confusion?
So the confusion comes from me trusting my boss and him saying he thinks I'm making a mistake.
Say that again. You broke up.
I hear that.
Say that again.
I respect my boss a lot, and he didn't tell me this directly. He told my coworker, but he said that he thinks I'm making a mistake. And it makes me afraid that maybe he knows more than I do about this, and he sees something that I don't see. And
no, I think he's. I actually, I lost a little respect for your boss. Do you think for a second, when he told your coworker that he thinks you're making a mistake, Do you think for a second he thought that was confidential and he asked that guy not to say anything, or did he just say that knowing he was going to come tell you that? What do you think?
Yeah, he probably knew he was going to tell me that.
Abso-freaking-lutely. That's manipulative. Look.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Oh, I know. I'm usually right. Listen, here's the deal. You got an $80,000 job that's average. So if you kill it, you can make more than 80. You can see the value. It is in your sweet spot, even though you're not crazy about foundations. The mission, the result that you love is serving others. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Definitely.
So if you don't trust this current boss, which doesn't feel like to me you do, if you don't trust him that he's not just manipulating you because you took another job and so he bumped you up some and then they showed you what the future of the company is. Now, look, if you think there's a ladder that takes you where you want to go with your current this car restoration business, then stay. Because I've had people call me all the time and I say, don't take the higher paying job if it's not taking you down the path you want to take. I'm never going to tell somebody take more money for less meaning. I'm never going to say take an $80,000 job that you don't love because you're making 60 in a job you do love. I'm never going to tell you that, ever. But I don't think that's the issue here. I think you feel like you've reached your lid where you currently are. Is that true or false?
That's true.
Then it's time to move on.
I've said that phrase many times. I feel like there's a ceiling. As soon as I get pressure to leave, and the raise comes.
Yeah, so here's the deal. He's just kicking the can down the road, and he's manipulating you by talking to your coworker. I don't like it at all. It's time to leave. So here's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think this foundation thing is a temporary step up. What I mean by that is it is a step up financially. It may not be in the career path. It may not be on the path, but it is a step up financially, which helps you get out of debt faster. You're almost done. Gets that emergency fund where you're going. Knock it out for a year, man. Crush it. See if you can make six figures while you're looking and maybe even getting qualified for that ultimate step. That's what I see this foundation job as. The next step to get you prepared for the next step. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what it comes down to is peace. I mean, step one, I was at peace about the interview process. And then once I got offered, I was like, oh, shoot, now I have to make a decision. And then I was really torn about it because I was afraid of having the conversation too.
That's what it's really about. That's what it is. That's what all this fear is about. This fear is about disappointing this guy or having this, what you call a confrontation. I don't consider that a confrontation, but a lot of people do, and I get it. It's time to put your big boy pants on, Matt. Big boy pants. This is big boy stuff. Step up, man. Man up. Man up, dude. Okay. Come on, man.
Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, I didn't tell you anything you weren't already thinking. Am I right? You called and you were leaning towards the foundation job.
Oh, sure. And I've already confirmed and even said it. The peace is what I'm shooting for, you know, just having peace about it.
Hey, well, listen, in order to have peace, you got to trust that your gut's right and do it. Now, I'm glad you called me. That's why I'm here. But after this conversation, there's nothing more to think about, bro. Nothing. Leave this deal behind and move into the future. And this foundation appraisal, whatever job is a step forward for you. Start looking for the next gig that's going to be maybe with cars or whatever. Start looking, start thinking. And while you're doing that, you're crushing it, trying to make 80, trying to make 100 grand, getting out of debt, getting an emergency fund, saving 15%. You're moving along the baby steps. And oh, by the way, while you're advancing on the baby steps, guess what's happening? You're advancing toward the work you love. This is a no-brainer. Take the job, finish the debt payoff, fund the emergency fund, move down the baby steps, and move towards your purpose. I love it. It's an absolutely brilliant move. You have to do it, and don't question it. Don't question it. It's like somebody calling up going, hey, Ken, I think God kicked the door open. Should I pray about it? No! If he kicked it open, walk through it. What are we doing? All right. My time is almost up. But before I let you go, you matter, and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.